Today on the 10 to 12 podcast, a slightly buzzed intro. Sorry, that's what happens when you do a live show pairing wings and beer. More on that. Plus, we talk about Scott Drew staying in Waco. We talk about Oklahoma State losing John Smith. And we talk about Mark Pope leaving BYU for Kentucky and what could be next there in Provo. All coming up on the 10 to 12 podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We're the flagship show of the 10-12 Network and partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on this Monday. I don't know if I could call this a bonus episode. If you missed it, we had a live show on YouTube Sunday night with Manhattan Brewing Company and our good friend Scott from Bosco's Boys. We paired some Buffalo Wild Wings flavors with some Manhattan Brewing Company beers, and it was absolutely fantastic. So if you don't follow us on YouTube yet, you can find 10 to 12 Podcasts on YouTube. Follow us there. I know that Google Podcasts has gone away and that YouTube is kind of filling that void. So maybe you have listened to the podcast there. Go to YouTube. Go check it out. Fun time. Maybe you're a Kansas State fan. You should definitely go listen. Maybe you're a Kansas State fan who's going to be in Manhattan for baseball this weekend. You should go listen. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, poke, poke. Go check it out. But we had to do an episode. I know we're not going to do Monday episodes on a regular basis until softball is over. We'll have a softball episode on Thursday. Yes, my Cowgirls lost the series to Iowa State. We're going to do a podcast episode on Thursday anyways. Leah Nelson will join us, former Iowa State softball player. We've got a loaded show for you today. An absolutely loaded show. There's so much going on. It's such a busy time. And none of this is football related. How wild is that? None of this is football related. That is how wild this coaching carousel in men's basketball has been. Think about it this way. Andy Enfield leaves USC to SMU. That's wild. That's wild. The must bus goes from Fayetteville to USC. John Calipari leaves Kentucky to go to Arkansas, which led to Coach Tang getting, I'm sure, a new contract at Kansas State. That's a big one. We did talk about that on our live show. Just come drink and eat along. It's a good time. And of course, that eventually led to Mark Pope leaving BYU to take over at his alma mater at Kentucky. And that is a big story we're going to talk about off the top here. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about that. But like I said, we have two great guests, Darby Brown, who has done a fantastic job of covering everything in relation to, luckily, Baylor not losing their head coach, their head basketball coach, to Kentucky. He's sticking in. He's sticking around. It's a good time. Scott staying in Waco. So Darby Brown of KWTX joins us to talk about the impact of Scott staying in Waco. Plus, Oklahoma State men's wrestling coach John Smith has retired. This would have been, imagine that the Michael Jordan of a sport was an alum of your school, decided to leave his sport as an athlete early and become your head coach. That's what John Smith is to college wrestling. That's what John Smith is to wrestling. And he has retired as the head coach at Oklahoma State. So Lee Cothran, who hosts co-hosts the Pin 12 podcast, which is our Big 12 wrestling podcast, joins us. He also hosts the Dynasty Defined podcast, which is the Oklahoma State wrestling podcast. The Oklahoma State wrestling podcast joins us to talk about John Smith retiring from Oklahoma State. So two great interviews coming up. We're going to get to both of those here in just a minute. I got to talk about BYU for just a second. Look, Mark Pope is gone. The transfer portal is open. BYU is seeing hits. Ali Khalifa is gone. Dallin Hall is gone. Marcus Adams Jr. is gone. Richie Saunders has announced he is leaving. And I'm just going to say this. It's going to happen. Jackson Robinson is going to leave. Everyone in and around BYU believes Jackson Robinson is eventually going to leave because the consensus was he was probably going to go to the NBA at some point. But now he may just leave for Kentucky. It's a lot to lose from a BYU team that, yes, they lost in the first round, but had a really good first season in the Big 12, an incredible first season in the Big 12. Look, the cupboard's not bare. Fusini Traore, Trevin Neal, two very solid players for BYU this year, could be back. They're both juniors. They've got a senior year to play at BYU. Those are two very good building blocks for whoever the next head coach at BYU is going to be. I'm sorry, I had a lot of beer tonight. That is a positive. So let's talk about the candidates at BYU. And this is having talked to multiple people at BYU. And I want to shout out Robbie McCombs, who writes for Vanquish the Foe. It's the SB Nation site. From the smart people that I trust, when it comes to BYU basketball, he's a guy to pay attention to. Look, Mark Madsen of Cal, that was the top name in every list. He has already come out and said he's staying at Cal. So just wipe that off of there. The number one name you're going to see listed most often when it comes to BYU is Chris Burgess. He's currently an assistant at Utah. He was an assistant at BYU for three seasons with Mark Pope. He came over with Mark Park from Utah Valley. So that is the guy who's going to get his name mentioned the most. Chris Burgess. So keep an eye on him. No head coaching experience. Look, here's the deal. When it comes to BYU, they haven't hired a non-LDS head coach, as far as I can tell, ever. It is not a requirement. But I think at this point it would take a heck of a name or a lot of no's to hire a non-LDS guy to be their head coach. So there's a very good chance that BYU is going to end up with a current assistant, not a current head coach, as their next basketball coach. Because while that is not a requirement, it's like an unspoken rule thing. Other names to keep an eye on would be Barrett Peary of UNLV. Nick Robinson, who's currently on the coaching staff as a BYU assistant. Casey Beard, who is a coach at Houston. Kevin Young, who's an associate head coach for the Phoenix Suns. Those are some guys I keep an eye on. Those are just a few names. BYU has a habit of taking a while to hire a head coach. I don't know that you can do that anymore. And look, BYU is a very different animal from everybody else. And if a BYU fan is upset with that, like, you know it is. It's very different. It is different. It just is. It is. It's BYU. It's different. Hopefully they make a move quickly. Maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe the players who are on the roster who are going to leave, we're going to leave no matter what happens. And the ones who are going to stay, we're going to stay no matter what happens. Maybe. But I'm hoping BYU moves quickly because you are in the Big 12 now. And you do have to move quickly. The portal's open. It's been open for a while. Players are already picking spots to go. If I'm BYU, I'm hoping they have a decision made by the end of the week. It's definitely something to keep an eye on. It is an open Big 12 job. Oklahoma State filled their job. West Virginia filled their job. It's the Power 5 job now. I think it's the last Power 5 job to be open. It was the last Power 5 job to open, and it's the last Power 5 job currently open. So hopefully they fill it quick. It would be the best thing for BYU. The best thing for all Big 12 fans is to go and shop at charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. They are sponsors here in the podcast and the network as a whole. Fantastic company. They've got every current Big 12 school. They've got fantastic gear for every current Big 12 school, plus Colorado, who's going to be in the Big 12 come July. Cannot wait. Look, they are working on Arizona State, and Utah. I promise you, if you're a fan of one of those schools and already listening to this show, to get acclimated to the Big 12, they're working on it. Go to charliehustle.com, shop around, check out the more than 30 schools that they have available. Use the promo code 101215. They had a great sale that was going on. It just ended at midnight on Sunday night. But go to charliehustle.com. Use the promo code 101215. 101215 gets you 15% off all non-sale items. Sales come, they go. They're going to clear out old stuff to make room for the new. They're going to have great new stuff this summer for every Big 12 school. You're going to want to pay attention to charliehustle.com. And if you're a fan of just the city of Kansas City and the other pro sports teams that are there, go check out charliehustle.com. Remember that promo code 101215, 15% off all non-sale items. All right, look, go to our YouTube channel. Please, go to our YouTube channel. Go watch the live that we did there. It was a ton of fun with Scott and the guys over at Manhattan Brewing Company. If you're going to Manhattan for a game next year or this year, if you're going for baseball, if next fall you're going to go for football or soccer or basketball next season, go check out Manhattan Brewing Company. Not a sponsor. I don't care. They're fantastic. They make great, great beers. If you love beer, go check them out when you're in Manhattan. Do yourself a favor. Go and do it. All right. Darby Brown, Lee Cothran coming up. Let's talk about Baylor keeping their head coach. Let's talk about Oklahoma State Wrestling losing their head coach and who might be the guy next. Let's get to it. Obviously, Kentucky has found their head coach, and Scott Drew is staying in Waco. Huge news for Baylor. And a lot of people did a really good job of covering the entire situation. One of them who did an absolutely fantastic job, Darby Brown, KWTX News, sports director there in Waco. Darby, welcome to the 1012.
Thank you, and thank you for those kind words. I'm glad to be on the other side of the story now, but it was a busy couple days, Yeah, it was a wild ride that he had us on, to be honest.
I mean, I think all Baylor fans are happy to be on this side of the situation as opposed to where they could have been, you know, what fears were at this point, Monday, a few days ago. I think the peak of this entire situation was we laugh about hashtag flight tracking season. It's a thing in college athletics. And I think you for the first time, we may have had actual information come out of flight tracking season. Having video of his family getting off of a plane at the airport in Waco from a flight from Lexington. I mean, how fun was it? What was the kind of reaction you got of actually having real flight tracking news?
Yeah, I mean, I have to give credit to really just, I don't actually even know who to give credit for on the internet who originally found that plane. I was not that person, but in the morning, everyone found that plane going from Temple to Lexington. But then Scott Drew posted that tweet at the Mexican restaurant and everybody kind of forgot about that plane. So they're like, Scott's not on it. We don't care. But then I found out when that plane was back up in the air coming back towards Central Texas. And so I just said, I don't know who's going to be on that plane, but if they're coming back to town, it's probably someone of note. And so we tracked it and, got there barely in time for it to land. And so I really didn't know who was going to be stepping off the plane. So I was just trying to, trying to see if we could kind of put an end to that question at least. And then, when it was his family coming off that plane, that obviously said a lot about what was really going on behind, closed doors in this situation. And you don't send your family to a day trip to Lexington, Kentucky, unless something's going on. And so that was really just an actual piece of proof that, okay, he is clearly considering this job and we'll see what happens next.
Yeah. Mi Casita, the restaurant he tweeted the photo from, has now officially named that Drew's Table. They've got a sign there with the photo from the tweet, which is peak college athletics, small town stuff. And I absolutely love it. Not to say Waco is a small town. Darby, I have to get your opinion on this. I mean, how close do you think Scott Drew was to actually taking the job at Kentucky?
I think he was really close. I felt like that night after we had the, the plane portion of it and everything else, I really felt like there was about a 70% chance he takes it, because if he really wants the job and his family were to have been on board at least a little bit or able to be convinced, I felt like he was going. I think what it came down to is, and I don't know this for sure, but we can kind of figure it all out, that clearly his family wasn't totally sold on it, and maybe he wasn't totally, gung-ho, like, I need to do this, or else you would think his family would support him. And so I think had all those pieces come together, he was gone. So I really felt like the whole time it was kind of 50-50. And then when I found out his family actually went there, it felt like it was in their hands. And, for Baylor's sake and Waco's sake, luckily it seems like they did not want to do it. And I do think it was the right move for him to stay here, but I really do think it was close. And most coaches in America, if Kentucky calls, you're going, or you're at least very close to going, kind of what happened with him. And I think Scott Drew is, he's a different guy. He's a different kind of breed of person. And I do think this was the right move for him, but it was close. I really do think it was.
I mean, that's quite the emotional roller coaster to go from. I mean, I remember when it was felt when it was Coach Cal's leaving. Like it wasn't official, but we knew it was he was headed off to Arkansas. And you knew Scott Drew's name would be attached to that job as it had been to Louisville. And I never felt like Scott Drew was going to leave for Louisville. But I mean, it's been an emotional few, I mean, it feels like months, weeks for Baylor fans between the Louisville job being opened and the NCAA tournament and then Kentucky opening and up and down and up and down. It does kind of feel like Baylor fans can just take a deep breath and just a nice release, a real oosah to calm down and feel like things are kind of set for now.
Yeah, I think, the Louisville job, to me, I agree with you. I didn't really think he was seriously considering that. Now, I think a sense it is closed, I've heard he did really listen to them. So I think he was considering it more than people thought. I think the thing that I kept thinking of is, okay, his name popped up in the Louisville job. Now his name's popping up the Kentucky job. Yes, it's a matter of he's a good coach, but I think it's also a matter of his agent or his people or whatever are putting out there at least like, hey, he'll listen. Like he is, he's at least kind of interested in what might be out there. And so that had me a little concerned, because your name just, yes, it pops up, but there's got to be some level of that. So I think all that to say, it was kind of a roller coaster. And now, yes, it's a deep breath. It is, I think this is a huge statement. I think it's a huge win, because I think if you're not going to take the Kentucky job, what job are you going to take? I mean, I really don't think there's another job out there that he would come across that he would take. I think this means for the rest of his career, as long as he's in control, and you can never say never, but I think he will retire as the head coach at Baylor. I think that's what this means.
I love when you answer a question before I even have to ask it. So that was perfect. I mean, it does feel like he's going to be here for the rest of his career, which is great for Baylor. It's great for the Big 12. It's great to see a program like Baylor and what he has built there. Because I mean, we see coaches go to programs and build something, and then another opportunity comes up. And to see him having built what he's built at Baylor, which is absolutely incredible. And I think his start and where Baylor was when he took over has been so long ago. I don't think we give him sometimes enough credit for what he has been able to establish there in Waco. To build what he's built and to basically, at this point, what feels like for the rest of his career, say, I've built this and I'm going to stick with this until I'm done. I mean, it's as I said, it's great for Baylor and it's great for the Big 12, but I think it's not something we're used to seeing. And it's not a shot at anybody who does take a bigger job or leaves for some other opportunity, but it is something that we like to see. And I love to see it happen to a school in the Big 12.
Yeah, it's pure. It's college athletics how we want it to be. I mean, it becomes, and now with NIL and everything else, and I'm not upset about any of that, but it's changing a lot. And so I think for someone to turn down a job that maybe had more money, more fame, more whatever, to turn that down and to stay where you feel like you are living out your mission, you're living out your purpose, and you're where you're supposed to be. And it might be viewed as lesser to a lot of people, but for him to say, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and to take that, I mean, you got to respect that. And I think, again, it just really does speak to who he is as a person, the family man he tries to be. And that's not an easy, it's not easy to be a family guy in that position. And so I think it is, you got to respect it. And as a college athletics, fan, I think most people would say, hey, that's a cool move. And so I think it is the right move for him. And yeah, it felt like, you could see it going one way, and you're almost like, man, how does he turn this down? But then for him to actually turn it down, I think it was a win for people who just root for the pure part of college athletics and want to focus on focus on that stuff.
Yeah, I know personally I went from there's no way this is happening to oh to okay, good. All right, we're safe. We're safe. Look, anytime something like this happens where a coach is being considered or swayed potentially to another job, you see the job that he is at, try and make some moves to pony up to try and incentivize them to stay. Now, obviously that's not what he was trying to do, but that is what schools typically do, any good school or good athletic director. What kind of things do you feel like we might see at Baylor, either from an athletic department standpoint or a booster standpoint, that shows an increased commitment because he chose to stay?
Yeah, I mean, right now, from a fan perspective, a lot of people are saying he needs a statue built, he needs a court named after him, all these things, which I know that Mac Rose in the past has kind of shied away from when a coach is still on campus. So from a personal sort of acknowledgement of what he's done, I don't know what they're gonna do there. I think they got to do something at some point for sure. But as far as support, NIL is king right now. I think if they can try to, help him in any way that they, can get. More money is more money. That's always good. I don't think he necessarily was using this as a bargaining tool to get himself more money, but I do think for the program, I think they got to continue to be competitive. And so if they're making that commitment to him that we're going to continue to be competitive, they need to continue to, up what they're doing in every way that they can support him. And I think there was a little bit more of those conversations happening a few weeks ago when the Louisville job was circulating. I think that's kind of when maybe some of these things had been decided. And now this job, I think, really was just a internal dilemma, family dilemma. But I think Baylor had kind of said, hey, this is what we're doing. And I think it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, look, as fans of a team in Texas in the Big 12, I think we have enough experience seeing a team build a statue for a head coach that's still at their job. While we don't expect Scott Drew to end up as an assistant coach at Texas in some time in his future, I don't think we should start building statues for guys that are still working. Maybe we wait until after they retire, and that's a good time to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Patterson's working here at Baylor now, which is so strange. So yeah.
Oh. I'm never gonna get used to it. It's not gonna be,
Yeah,
it's not, no.
no, and I don't think Scott cares about that stuff. I think the fans are sensitive about that stuff, but I do think he doesn't care about that. He just cares about can I continue to be competitive and, making this program as good as it can be.
Yeah, and Scott Drew Court is definitely sometime in Baylor's future, I think. Darby, you again had done a great job covering the story. I'm glad that it's over for Baylor fans. I'm glad it's over for you. You can take a break, take a breath, maybe just talk about some Baylor baseball and softball and
Yeah.
what else is going on in and around the state of Texas. So thank you very much for joining us today.
No problem.
One of the biggest stories from last week. In a week of giant, massive stories in the month of March and April, of course, long time. I don't even know an appropriate way to describe it. Oklahoma State wrestling head coach John Smith announced his retirement. There will be a formal press conference on Monday at Oklahoma State. 33-year run as the head coach of Oklahoma State coming to an end. The accolades, 5-team national championships, 33 individual NCAA championships, 490 dual wins, 153 All-Americans, 23 team conference championships, 132 individual conference championships, two Hodge Trophy winners, an 86% dual win percentage, eight perfect dual season records, 171, 24, and 5 dual record in conference. I mean, the man, legend. That's the word OSU keeps using, not throwing around, using appropriately, is legend. This is people you throw the word goat around way too much. This is where it applies. If someone were to use the money to build an actual physical Mount Rushmore in Stillwater, he would be the first face on it. I could keep going and going. I'm not going to because luckily we have a guest to talk about this as well. He is Lee Cothran, our resident Big 12 wrestling aficionado, as host of the Pen 12 podcast, the Big 12 wrestling podcast, the 10-12 network, as well as Dynasty Defined, the Oklahoma State wrestling podcast. Lee, welcome back to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, Philip. It's always great to come on talk wrestling, especially in April. Unless it's Olympic season, which it is, the next week is Olympic trials. There's not a lot to talk about these days with wrestling, with NCAAs being finished.
I mean, this announcement is both surprising and not surprising. Like you and I have talked a lot off air, and there's been a consensus that like Coach Smith's time is coming to an end at some point soon. He's been doing this for a very long time. I think it just drops on a Thursday with no announcement. I mean, it's just a tweet that comes out like, thanks, coach, and a graphic and a link to the article at OSU's website. And then everyone just goes, oh, it was startling in that it came so out of the blue. But I'm curious your initial reaction when the news dropped on Thursday.
Like you said, it's not that it was unexpected. There have been rumblings about this from John himself for 5 years or so. It's definitely not the most shocking thing, but when you hear about it, when you're in the kind of position that I'm in, where you have some connections or you have people who know you care, they call you at noon and it's like, hey, this looks like it's happening. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. And then 3 hours later, the news drops and it's in the fashion that you said on a Thursday. It's just, what the heck happened? Where are we? I didn't have words. It was a real shock because, like you said, he is a legend in the sport in coaching. And then beyond that, he is the greatest American wrestler of all time with 6 World and Olympic championships in a row. And with his accomplishments on the mat, everything, just it seems like we're at 40 years of John Smith being a mainstay in the sport. And it's not like he is going anywhere. I'm sure he's going to be involved. I'm sure he's going to call the Olympics on NBC and probably get involved with broadcasting with NCAAs and things like that. But it's just going to be weird to not have him in the corner. It just feels strange that this man who's been so influential is no longer going to be in the corner at Oklahoma State wrestling duels.
It's wild. We've talked a lot about football because obviously Nick Saban has retired, and now we're looking at basketball, and we've recently lost Coach K and Williams. And so like it really just continues to be another piece of like an end of an era of just people that we have been so synonymous with their sport and such massive figures in the sport that they coach and have been involved in with so long, stepping away from the game, that now to add John Smith to the list of people who have not just mainstays, not just legends, not just helped to define what their sport is today. I mean, all of these things stepping away, and obviously not completely. Obviously, we're still going to see them. They haven't passed away, but it's still like it's a weird thing to feel like everything as change is constant. But it does just feel like in a long line of changes around athletics and college athletics of the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, this is one of the biggest ones we could talk about. And I know it's college wrestling, it's not football, it's not basketball, but I mean, this is just a massive change to a sport like wrestling to see someone of his stature step away from coaching and basically be done outside of, as you mentioned, calling things.
It is a lot like Nick Saban stepping away. If Tom Izzo retired in a couple weeks, it is one of those things. It wouldn't necessarily be a huge shock, but it's an apt comparison. You've got people who are at this point where college athletics is changing so much so fast that it really makes sense that, hey, if you've built up this legacy, you feel confident about your program moving forward, then hand the reins off and go turkey hunt and fish, which are things I'm sure John is going to spend a lot of time doing.
I feel real bad for the turkeys in Oklahoma right now. You kind of hinted at it there, and I do think interesting. He, as you mentioned, talked about this for a few years now. It does make you kind of wonder if they have been building to this of, you know, you look at Oklahoma State wrestling and where it's kind of been, and it does feel like it's kind of built itself back up a bit the past couple of seasons. And so does it feel like Smith was, the coach was kind of trying to get the program back into a spot where he felt comfortable handing off the reins before he stepped away?
Yeah. So two things here. I kind of want to step back and mention that John Smith has always been adamant about doing what's best for the sport of wrestling, and sometimes at the detriment of Oklahoma State, with the changes that we're talking about with NIL, with the RTC system, which is an Olympic Regional Training Center. They did away with having everything concentrated in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and had on-campus camps, essentially, where athletes could coach and train and get the resources that they need from USA Wrestling outside of Colorado. He's always been leery of that because while Oklahoma State, Iowa, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, those types of programs are going to be able to be competitive in those spaces, he was always worried about Arkansas Little Rock or Wyoming or North Carolina or Campbell or programs like that that don't have a mountain of resources and people who are going to be able to foot the bill. They're worried about paying for all 9.9 of the scholarships that they're allotted more than they are about paying Olympic athletes to come train at their facility or coach with them. So it's something that John has always been adamant about supporting the sport and getting back to the sport and making sure that the sport is healthy. And I think that it's finally gotten to or finally got to a place where he couldn't do that and coach at Oklahoma State at the same time. So really gonna expect to see him become a bigger ambassador for those smaller programs and then for women's wrestling, which is a whole other topic. With Oklahoma State, yeah, I think that the recruiting classes that he was able to pull together after the Dayton Fix recruiting cycle, where Dayton came in and he was a superstar, number one overall recruit in his class from Oklahoma, wanted to be a cowboy. So it worked out, but he also put together a binder that said, hey, here's the things that other programs were doing that if I didn't want to be here, would have enticed me to go there. And OSU started doing those things. They had the number one overall recruiting class in 2020, which kind of fell apart a bit with some things we're not going to talk about because I live in Collin County, Texas, and it's a little close to some of those things. But I fear the family that is involved with that. But there's some things that came up with that class that just didn't necessarily work out outside of Dustin Plott being an NCAA finalist now. So then it became a, well, shoot, I can't retire now because we've got to get things back to where we are confident we can finish towards the top of the podium in the team trophy race. And they pulled in another number one recruiting class last year. They worked the transfer portal really well to pull in a guy or a couple of guys who can all American. And they got back on an upward trajectory. They brought in Coleman Scott, who was the head coach at North Carolina, to be the associate head coach. And you could see the progress. So I think it was a place where he felt comfortable that he could step away. But I think, yeah, there was a lot of build up to that. And then a couple of hurdles that presented themselves that the program had to get over before he could feel confident in handing it off.
I mean, we've seen plenty of people on social media commenting, showing their praise and adoration for Coach Smith, not just with Oklahoma State, but across the sport itself. Obviously, former alums as well. Daniel Cormier had some things to say during UCF's show, and well, we've seen an outpouring. Again, it's not dead, but like it is a weird balance of we want to honor this incredible career, and also it's hard not to be a little bit sad to see what feels like an era come to an end with him stepping away. Obviously, we'll still be involved in and around the sport, but I mean it's been incredible to see just the number of people who have come out, and I think just re-emphasized the impact that he has had across the sport as a whole of wrestling for so many people. I mean, you got people talking about like they used to had. You know, wrestling fans having John Smith posters on their wall growing up. Like, that's wild. It's wild to me to think of like John Smith posters because he's going to have like six gold medals draped around his neck. I know the poster they're talking about. I've seen it before.
look, I mean, the guy had a shoe. He's the Michael Jordan of wrestling. There was a most wrestlers were learned about college wrestling because when they started wrestling in high school, because they were 5'2" and 100 pounds soaking wet and couldn't play football, that they got their first pair of wrestling shoes and they were John Smith's. And then they thought, well, what, who's John Smith? And they looked him up and it was a guy who is at the pinnacle of the sport. And then, oh yeah, he's the head coach at Oklahoma State. So if you started your wrestling career in the 90s, early 2000s, then you probably wore John Smith shoes and you were aware that Oklahoma State was the place to be and you wanted to wrestle at Oklahoma State. It's he is an absolute legend of the sport. And beyond that, when you meet him, and that's what all these people are talking about, when you go scroll through the trending topic of John Smith, who is highlighting this, who's talking about it, the man never, you go up to talk to him and he turns the mirror around every single time. It is a he's a wooer of the highest caliber. He'd be a great salesperson because it's never about him. Like, he doesn't want to talk about himself. He doesn't think that he's a legend. He thinks that anybody could do what he did. And he wants to know about you. He and once he's met you, he remembers these things. It's, hey, how are you doing? How's your dad? How's your son? How's your wife? How's your mother? How's your, like, it is a quintessential, great, curious dude. Like, the most interesting people are interested people, right? And he exemplifies that. And I think that's really what most people are praising, is how special this Michael Jordan of wrestling made them feel when they met him. And he made them feel like they were the center of the universe. And it speaks to what kind of person you're losing from the athletic department at Oklahoma State. Which is another thing I've highlighted here is it's important to remember what caused John Smith to become the head coach at Oklahoma State. It wasn't a position he necessarily wanted in 1991. He was at the peak of his competitive career. He had just won his fifth world championship. He was preparing for the Barcelona Games in 92, where he would eventually win his sixth and final gold medal. And he could have gone another 4 years and probably won another three world championships and Olympic championship in Atlanta. But Oklahoma State was in a position where the previous coach, Joe C, had made some mistakes. There wasn't necessarily, it was what would now be considered a very minor infraction. But as we know keenly at Oklahoma State, when you lie to the NCAA, they don't like that. And you get punished harder. And so the program was in a bad place. John Smith and Kenny Monday, who is another legendary wrestler, multiple, two-time Olympic medalist, they were co-head coaches while they were both training for the Barcelona games. And John took over the head coaching position after Barcelona. And the program was banned from competition, or from postseason competition in 1992, 1993. And then the next year, he won a national championship. And the sacrifice he made, because again, he would be in a position where he is the untouchable, greatest American wrestler of all time, and up there with a couple of Soviet wrestlers who are considered the greatest wrestlers of all time because of the number of world and Olympic championships they have. He sacrificed that for Oklahoma State so that he could help the program maintain and keep some of the athletes on board, including his brother Pat Smith, who ended up being a four-time, the first four-time national champion, including a couple of wrestlers who are absolute legends who are now high-level youth coaches in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania, and California. And then, of course, leading to that big run in the early 2000s where he won four straight national championships. He sacrificed everything in his competitive and personal career for Oklahoma State. However, hear him talk about it in his announcement yesterday, in the written announcement. I'm sure we'll hear a lot about it on Sunday in the press conference. He credits Oklahoma State with giving him everything. It speaks to who he is. And I don't know if they necessarily, and maybe wrestling is a sport that lends itself to this kind of thing, but I don't think they're necessarily going to make a lot of people like John Smith anymore.
No, they don't. That's not just a wrestling thing. That's just not. That's a character that's hard to come by, and for Oklahoma State to have had it in house for as long as they have is absolutely incredible. And obviously, he'll still be around the program. We'll wrap on this because I know you've had a lot to say on your show, Dynasty Defined, which everyone should go and check out, and I'm sure you'll have some things to say on Pin 12 podcast as well. But Coleman Scott, as you mentioned, current associate head coach, actually current interim now, who came over from North Carolina, was the head coach there, has been named the interim. As we know, state law, you are required to keep a job open for 5 days before you can hire somebody. And obviously, you want to give Coach Smith some time to get his due and to be honored, and not take attention away from that. But it's hard not to feel like this is going to be Coleman Scott's job once that 5-day period and we've had some time to honor Coach Smith has come to pass.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some calls will probably be made. I think Chad Weiberg would be not doing full due diligence if he didn't take a couple shots. However, Coleman Scott is certainly one of the three hot, best up and coming coaches in college wrestling. What he did at North Carolina over 7 seasons was incredible. He took a program that was on the verge of being cut to a program that had four NCAA finalists and two national champions in the course of his final 3 years. So, there. So he's an Olympic bronze medalist in his own right as a very accomplished wrestler and coach so far. So I think it makes sense to that he's going to be the next guy. But as the kids say now, you want to make sure to give Coach Smith his flowers before you name his replacement. And then Coleman has already spent the last year getting to work, changing some things internally in the program, recruiting, working the transfer portal, fundraising. John really handed off a lot of those administrator tasks to him last August when he came over. So I fully expect him to be the next head coach at Oklahoma State. That is speculation, but it's what makes the most sense. And then I expect him to fill out his staff with a couple of really high-level assistant coaches because Coleman's network is pretty wide. I mean, he's always been willing to bring in great minds to help lead his program. He brought Tony Ramos, who was a multiple-time national champion at Iowa, to be his assistant head coach at North Carolina. So, would expect him to do something similar to make sure that you're getting Oklahoma State back to where they should be at the top of NCAA wrestling hearts and minds. I mean, I think this John Smith announcement is kind of an indicator of how important OSU wrestling is. It was front page on ESPN. It's a he's important. Oklahoma State's important to the sport. I really Iowa and Penn State are the other two. But when you steal a headline from a Hall of Fame running back slash infamous murderer or alleged murderer,
Sure, alleged. Okay.
quote unquote, that's something that really says something to how big of a deal John Smith is.
We'll be curious what Oklahoma State does to honor him. I know there's a lot of different plans for things around Gallagher Abba Arena, and I know there's been work on the wrestling side of the facilities there. But I mean, there's going to have to be something. Like, there's going to be a statue you're going to name.
Well, I've advocated for the new wrestling facility that's been they're currently fundraising for it. They've announced it. I've advocated it for it to be the John Smith Center for Kids Who Wrestle Good. so I think that would be great, a way to honor him. And then, yeah, I mean, if you're building statues of Barry Sanders and Boone Pickens, then you've got to put one of, John Smith up, because he is absolutely, as you mentioned, on the Mount Rushmore of Oklahoma State athletics. Probably right there with your Hank. I mean, not probably, definitely right there with your Hank Ibos and Ed Gallagher's and Pete Incaviglia's and whoever else you want to name off. Right. So he's an important figure in Oklahoma State and is really a massive part of the university's legacy.
We appreciate your time. As I mentioned, everybody go check out the Pin 12 podcast. That is the Big 12 wrestling show in the 10-12 network. Lee and Sam Phillips do a fantastic job hosting it. Of course, Lee also hosts the Dynasty Defined podcast, which is the Oklahoma State Wrestling podcast. I know you just dropped an episode covering this story. We'll continue to have episodes as the story continues to develop and as OSU names a head coach and so on and so forth. So if you're a Big 12 or Oklahoma State wrestling fan, go check out both of those.
Yeah, next week on Pin 12, we're going to be talking a lot about Olympic team trials, which are next weekend. A lot of Big 12 wrestlers going to be represented there and, potentially making Olympic teams. And those six spots are highly coveted. It's going to be a really competitive, fun time, and excited to preview that with Sam. Sam digs deep into these things and definitely is the brains of the operation over at Pin 12. So make sure to check it out. It's going to be an awesome experience here as we get into Olympic season.
Come on, Dayton Fix.
Yeah, come on, Dayton. Come on, Christian Carroll's another Oklahoma State guy. Alec Derringer is an Oklahoma State guy. There's Keegan O'Toole from Missouri is going to be competitive. You've got David Carr from Iowa State. So a lot of really high level Big 12 wrestlers are going to be competing there, and it's going to be fun on the Greco side. I think with Arizona State coming in, Colton Schultz is going to be a name to watch there. Zahid Valencia from Arizona State, from South Dakota State, Bennett Berge is going to be looking to represent Greco over. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of cool stuff to keep up with Big 12 wrestling, and we'll be there to cover it.
Podcast Network.